Okay, guys and gals, welcome to the TDC Connected call for March 2019. It's March 27th. We are recording this, so you can, if you have to pop away, or for the guys and gals that just can't make the meeting, it will be up on the TDC Connected website later today when I get the file. So if you want to re-listen to it, or for people that just for whatever reason had to break away, you'll be able to do that later today. Just to give you a quick bit of instruction to join, all of your lines are muted right now so we don't get that background noise. To unmute your line and participate in the conversation or ask a question or anything else, simply hit *6. That will unmute your line. And then, to remute it, you can just hit *6 again. So most of you know that command. If you don't, I did have some people tell me last week they wanted to get in and they didn't know how because they got in a little bit late. So I'll probably make this same announcement in, 10 minutes, just for those folks that unfortunately had to arrive late. So especially because of the number change. So what we went over last week, of course, was a lot in what had to go on and pre-planning, et cetera, for the TDC convention in Las Vegas coming this October. We have since, Nona has since sent out that registration form. I was talking to John McKinnon in Kansas City. He was saying that he was having some issues getting his reservation made. I don't know which gal over there he talked to, but she was obviously just not up with what was going on. Because we've since talked to the manager over there and everything's in place. So you should be able to call the Tuscany Suites Inn with the information provided in the email and get those discounted room rates and for those dates. I would recommend flying in on Thursday, October 17th, I believe it is. That way you're fresh and ready to go and you're there for the whole meeting starting at 9 on Friday. So the recommended day to fly in is Thursday, October 17th. And then, of course, the meeting is Friday and Saturday, the 18th and 19th. If you haven't registered, please do so. Simply fill out that form and email it to Nona or Diane and let them know they're the ones kind of taking role and organizing the whole thing logistically. On that level. If you have any questions about the hotel, the reservations, or anything else, please contact Diane or Nona, and they should be able to help you with that. I'm trying to put all the content together, and I'll go over some more of that today. But logistically, the hotel room stuff, I'm just not educated on, so I'll admit that fully. But looking forward to seeing you all there. I've had probably 30 verbal commitments. I made some phone calls and been asking you guys when I talk to you for various reasons on the phone if you're coming, and I think we're at about 30 verbal commitments so far, and hell, we're only in March, so this could be the biggest one ever if it just keeps on keeping on. So looking forward to that. I know you guys really enjoy the networking part and meeting your fellow franchise owners and creating some relationships there. So that should be awesome. We have a lot of new franchise owners since our last convention a couple years ago. And I'll introduce one right now. We just trained him last week. His name is Cecil or Craig Turner. He can tell you which one he wants to go by, but Cecil Turner. He is from Lexington, South Carolina, just outside of Columbia. He and his wife just purchased a Dentist Choice franchise there, and he trained with us last week, and he was great, really, really mechanically inclined. He really just gravitated to that almost instantly and did really well there. So this is just going to be a great business for him. You'll meet him at the convention for sure. If not, talk to him on the phone through these TDC Connected meetings. But really, really good guy and pretty fun to be around, good demeanor. So we announced some new people last month and announcing another one now. So we're excited about the growth and the new guys and gals that we've brought on board. Going to the TDC Connected, or I'm sorry, the TDC Convention. I keep mixing those two up. One of the things that Bud asked me to do was get information from you guys on his tech table. He does like to pre-prepare for that. I know we're way early, but it's never too early to prepare for this thing. So far, he's had one request. I think it was from Jared Cooper on tradition fiber optic bundles, and at least kind of a tutorial of what's involved there in changing out the fiber optics on a tradition. I know it doesn't happen a lot, but sometimes those are the things that you guys want to go over on the tech table. So please email Bud or call Bud. He's taken down a list of the items that you guys want to cover on the tech table. I mean, we're going to have John and Bud teaching those, so we're going to have two real capable guys there available for you, so you certainly should take advantage of them. So if there's anything that you really want to go over, make sure you let them know, especially because it might be a situation where, you know, we want to be able to come up with that handpiece so that it's there. If we get a request 2 days before the event, you know, we just might not have the handpiece and have that availability for you. So please, the one request I got from Bud before this meeting was to ask you guys to please get him ideas on what you guys want to go over for the tech table. So there's that. I'm sure you guys are already thinking of stuff. If it does relate to one item, the Midwest Stylus Plus, which I know some of you guys are running into, there's a repair recipe that they've put together on that. Unfortunately, the impellers have not been released anywhere in the aftermarket world yet. So we're struggling a little bit on the Midwest Stylus Plus. So we do need someone to produce that impeller and release that impeller so that we can come up with the proper turbine replacement. Right now, you can change the internal spindle, use the current impeller, and there's a recipe available. But we have had some requests on the Midwest Stylus Plus, so I just wanted to get that for you. A third thing that I'm actually requesting of you guys, Ben Nafis uses a program, a CRM and route management program called Badger Maps. It is badass, to put it very bluntly. He's our Bakersfield franchise owner, and he was here the other day, and he broke it out and showed it to me. And it pinpoints every customer. The pin kind of changes color per how long it's been since you visited that customer or what kind of customer it is. And then it also allows you, in addition to doing the route management, it also handles your customer management stuff, contacts, notes, information, reminders, hand pieces, and it's sortable. So he uses that. I might have him. Well, it's not that I'm going to have him. I am going to have him bring that to the TDC convention and at least show it to you guys. We talked about some CRM stuff at our last convention, but I think since then, in the 2+ years, Badger Maps has really, really stood above all the rest, at least to my knowledge right now. So if any of you guys are using a CRM system that also integrates route management into that same system, that seems to be kind of like the ideal situation. Right now, it seems like Badger Maps is the one to go with. If any of you guys know of another one, please email me, present it to me. We can do some research on it here and maybe ask for your help at the TDC convention in introducing it. But I've already talked briefly with Ben about at least showing you guys, you know, why he likes Badger Maps and how he utilizes it and really, really keeps his customer base organized well. Like, I know we'd all like to, but it just kind of gets away from you when you're getting phone calls and trying to do repair and trying to keep up with your current customer base. I know it's hard to kind of veer off and do one of these other things, so he's at least gonna introduce that for you. Couple of new developments to announce, and sorry if I'm boring you guys here, but I figured I'd get all my announcements out of the way first, and then we kind of open it up for open questions and some good discussion.
David?
But yeah, Erwin. Yeah.
Sorry, I apologize. Could you please spell the Badger Maps? Is it BADGERMASS?
Maps, MAPS, Erwin.
Oh,
Badger
Maps.
Maps. Sorry.
Maps. Thank you.
Badger Maps, yes.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And for anyone else who didn't get that, it's Badger, BADGER, Maps, MAPS. Potentially bringing in a couple of new items. One, I spoke with Bienair recently. They can't open us up on their surgical, but what they did mention to me when I was attempting to open them up on surgical was that they'd be more than happy to sell us their other product, which is their electric attachments and air-driven high-speed attachments. So I do actually have a meeting planned with their COO on getting us set up and pricing and all of that. So we should have that in place, I would imagine, within the next week or so. And then secondarily, the company Trouse, which most of you are familiar with, they are located here in Irvine, and I had discussions with them on opening us up on their product as well. Their manager, office manager, was actually pretty excited about it, and he potentially will be speaking to us at the convention in Las Vegas about their surgical product, which is all the 20-to-1 and the gear reduction stuff that you guys are familiar with. So we could be opening up two lines here very, very shortly, one with Bienair, which most of you are familiar with, and then secondarily with Trouse, which is surgical stuff that's becoming more and more popular. In fact, many of you have probably run into it. So kind of a lot going on here and a lot in development, but that's where we're at right now. I don't know what else to cover immediately without just kind of opening up the lines and doing what I promised, which was that we'd have an open forum for you guys. So at this point, I'll remind you all that you simply hit *6 on your phone, and that'll unmute your line, and we can start fielding some questions and get some conversation going. So I'll take a step back right now and just allow you guys to do that. So again, simply hit *6 on your phone, and we can take your phone calls and any discussion items that you may have, especially if you have any information on any kind of route management software that you're using other than Badger Maps and a couple of the smaller little apps, phone apps. So there you go, guys. Any input is welcome.
Dave, it's Harv.
Hey, Harv. What do you have?
Yeah, I have one CRM system that I'm very happy with, and I think I may have given you a very brief introduction to it at the previous convention. It's called Method, and if you're interested in a demo on that, I'd be glad to do it sometime.
Absolutely, I'd love it. And now, is it a CRM that also allows some route management?
Yes. It does, yeah. In fact, you just click or touch on a button, and it pulls up the directions to the place and all that. And also, it's cloud-based, so you can access it from any computer or phone or iPad anywhere.
Question for you, because this is always question number two. What is the monthly fee for that cloud-based system?
Good question. I'll reference that, and I'll butt in later on in the conversation and let you know when I find my last billing on it.
Okay.
And then I have one other subject, but I'm going to just pause there in case someone else has some further information on CRMs before I change the subject.
Well, we've got plenty of time, so we can always come back to CRM stuff, Harv. Go ahead.
Okay. One thing I'd be interested in, and I don't know if this would be something for discussion when there's more participants, I would like to hear more about what turbines guys are using and bearings. By turbines, I mean maybe the more premium versus the more inexpensive ones, and steel bearings versus ceramic bearings. For instance, not too long ago, I talked to one franchisee who never rebuilds turbines. He just always uses the economy turbines and doesn't even offer rebuild. And I'm wondering if a lot of guys are doing that, having success with that, and so on. And are a lot of guys using all or mostly ceramic bearings or steel bearings? I know I spoke to one guy some time ago that said he's not really having much more or experiencing more longevity with ceramic bearings versus steel bearings. And I noticed, I think, a little difference, but I'm just wondering about input that anyone else would have regarding those subjects.
What do you think on, like, how much more life are you experiencing with the ceramic versus the steel, like a month or two?
I would say a month or two. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm wondering what other guys are experiencing.
Yeah. Hopefully some people will chime in. But since you brought it up, I'm asking you a couple questions. Okay, so a month or two, but I know you buy some Mionic bearings, but are those lasting significantly past the warranty period, the bearings you're using?
Yes, those that I'm getting, those special order bearings for the Star, they're lasting past the warranty period, considerably longer. And
what
like
about
I,
the standard, like if you're just doing standard Traditions or Kavos, what kind of bearing life are you getting?
Oh, I'm using the, what are they?
I think you're using
I did get that GRW bearing.
The Mionic.
Yeah, but the Mionics are what I'm using on there. And I'm getting reasonably good service from them. Occasionally, I get a warranty repair on those bearings. I did order some GRWs, some of the special order GRWs, that you're getting through Tim. For Kavo, and I haven't used enough of them yet to get a good reading on their longevity. However, the ones that I did use so far, I've never gotten any back yet.
Right. Okay, well, guys, that's a subject if you think about it. I know I've heard of some guys considering, I'm just kind of as a rumor, just kind of considering leaning more towards just offering turbine replacements. I remember Mike Young. I don't know if you remember Mike Young or not. I think you do. He was in Alabama and then moved to Tennessee before fully retiring. And he got to the point where he didn't do overhauls. He just did turbine replacements for everybody. And I think it was because he was getting close to retirement and he was just thinking, the hell with it. It's easier. And I don't want to mess with warranties, but as you know, sometimes your bearings are fine, but just a chuck system failed, and you put a 4 or 6 month warranty on an overhaul, and 4 months into it or 5 months into it, a chuck goes down, and somehow you gotta kind of work with the customer on partial credit, and then there's a bill for a new turbine, and it just gets a little confusing. So he kind of went fully to it. I don't know that we're behind that here. We've been kind of doing the standard. If it's close on the chuck, we 100% replace it. If it passes, but not by a lot, we'll try and replace it. So the borderline stuff that I think we used to let go, and a lot of guys would let go thinking, it'll probably make it through the warranty, just said the heck with it. If it's even close to borderline, they replace the turbine. But it's going to be good for you to get input from actual franchise owners too, Harb. So that would be a good
I'd like to hear what others are experiencing.
Anyway, guys, any other input on anything or Q&A? Hit *6. I know we got open forum here for quite a while. We left some open time
David,
you guys today.
Board. Yeah. David.
I have a question for you. I'm wondering a couple of things about handpiece. How do you tell a good handpiece from a more inferior handpiece, like a better quality one from a lesser quality one?
I think if you've heard of it before, it's probably a better handpiece. If it's one of the mainline, Sirona, Star, Kavo, Midwest. I mean, there's the main guys out there.
Yeah, but
and then there seems to be a continual slew of more and more stuff coming out of China with various names, a lot of them pretty weird, right? Saiski, Ya Bang Bang. There's a ton now, Gord.
Oh, I know, but how do you tell something that's good, let's say, within the cable line? You got the lower-end cables, the mid-range, and the high-end.
I can pretty much guarantee you that the low-end cavos are exactly that. I mean, we've all seen them. There's a $495 cavo handpiece available now. That was unheard of 6-8 years ago. And, I mean, Bud had probably bet his truck on it that those are coming out of China now.
Yeah, I guess what I'm suggesting is we talk about some of that at the convention. And the other thing I'd like to really be clear on, when's a good time to retire a handpiece? Typically, I tell my customers to keep it going unless there's something that's going to interfere with the power, let's say head denting or dents along the body, things like that. Otherwise, we kind of keep it going. Anyway.
Yeah, anybody have any input for that? When do you tell a customer to retire a handpiece? I mean, obviously, if you can't repair it, you would say that, but is there another time frame? Do you look at a handpiece and X amount's
like
wrong with it?
Well, I was took back recently. The power wasn't as good as usual.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of head dents, so I took it back to the customer and I just said, you know, if you want, you can keep this as a repair, or if you're not happy with it, just, you know, say so, and I'll just take my parts out, and I won't bill you for it. So you kept the handpiece and used it, but
what was the offer, though? I mean, you always have to have an offer of like a replacement handpiece, right? If you're going to ask them to retire one.
Yeah, if I was going to retire, I would definitely get a replacement and give them a price on that. But I'm just saying, like, you know, a lot of people ask me, you know, should I retire this handpiece? You know, it's older, things like that. I personally just kind of look for the power, but if there's any other suggestions, and head denting, of course.
We get that. Oh, I get that question a lot more lately, Gord. Guys asking me that, and typically, you know, if you can replace a turbine and the thing works, if you can fix it and make it work, and you know it's going to last, you know, probably 9 months to a year in its current state, I mean, I would repair it. I mean, you're a repair technician. This is your business. I would at least encourage that.
And
if for some reason with your experience tells you this thing ain't going to last 3-4 months, then no. I don't think I'd want to get in the middle of that, so I would offer them an affordable replacement at that point.
Yeah. So I'm getting
But that's just
like
me,
and
I'm not. I don't have feet on the ground like you guys do. That would just be my kind of approach.
So Tim Ropshan, when he was speaking to us one time, was talking about clamping mechanisms and things like that.
Uh-huh.
So getting into some of those kind of things on what makes a better handpiece and when's time. I'm thinking for the convention. Not
sure. So what he talked about was the clamp pad design,
yep.
Right, versus, gosh, what's the other design? If Bud could probably tell us instantaneously, but there's three. There's the one with the clamp pad, and then there's one with the insert in the basically the button insert. And he mentioned pros and cons to both of those, Gord. Do you remember that?
It would be nice to have that talk, but maybe with some materials we can take away from the conference.
Well, he had that whole, and it's actually on the online, that whole presentation, that whole clamp pad versus the other one presentation, and they've both got pros and cons.
Yep.
So I can email that out at the conclusion of the meeting, and you can kind of look at it again. But I think you or somebody asked him that same question, well, which one's better? And he gave us a very politically correct answer in that he said, well, in some cases this is the better one, and in other cases that's the better one. So he didn't really help us out there, but, I mean, as long as they're both working and going well past the warranty, whether it's the clamp pad design or the other design, I think you're okay.
You get things like quad spray versus triple port spray. Is there any real difference in it? You know, just things like that. But I think I'm not asking for any answers now. I'm just saying that might be a nice topic for the convention. So.
If there's a difference between triple port spray and quad port spray.
No,
any
quality differences between hand pieces. So when you're selling hand pieces, you got a lot of different things you can present the guy. You might want to give an intelligent answer on something, right?
Yeah. Every hand piece, especially, you know, all the Sable stuff, they have their little promo.
Yep.
Their little promo points that they add to a hand piece. So that kind of stuff's definitely available for sure. And I would just copy. I would literally just verbatim. If Sable's, you know, if Sable's flyer is promoting that the quad, you know, the quad spray is the best spray and gets you the best coverage with the water, then I think I would probably promote that as well.
But let's say someone's buying that cheap cable handpiece you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
Are there any advantages to, let's say, going up to a Sable or a higher end cable?
Yeah, I mean, you've probably noticed they just don't seem like they're made as well. They get head dents, the button gets dented, and it gets kind of crammed in there, so it's always hitting on the button. I mean, you can just tell they're more cheaply made. They're more susceptible to damage, I would say, would
be nice
to
know
pretty
that
open term.
And be able to talk about that to my customers. So
yeah, I wrote that down, so we can definitely cover that.
That would be great. Anyway,
yep, I did write that down for a topic of conversation for sure, Gord. So thank you very much for that.
David?
Yeah.
David, on that subject of new handpieces, I had just an example. I've got one dentist who I repaired a handpiece for them, and at the bottom of the description I put there, you know, how many months since I last seen it, and she's came out of her office and she said, why are my handpieces costing me such a lot of money? I said, what do you mean? She says, well, I'm forever seeing you. You know, so I said, well, you're not really. I said, the last one, this one that I just fixed up here, I hadn't seen for 34 months.
I said, 3 years?
Yeah. On my books, 34 months, yeah. And
uh-huh.
I said, you got this? She said, well, what can I replace it with? So I said, well, I don't know. They still new. They virtually new. They, you know, and when I put in, I always put in, if I can, Timken impellers and turbines,
uh-huh.
And then
uh-huh.
I always use ceramic, or the Myonic ceramic, whichever one. As long as it's got ceramic in the description, I've used it.
Uh-huh.
I seem to get less. Very less warranties on them, unless somebody really does something stupid, which I have one or two dentists that do that. But otherwise, yeah. So, you know, what do you tell, you know, I said you can sell them and, you know, you can buy new ones if you want to, but you must make sure you buy new. So then she asked me for a list of which ones do I recommend. And I gave her a list of all the common ones that we know, you know, Cabos and Midwest, etc. And I said, you can look at those. I even offered to help sit with her in her office and go through it with her, you know, so we can go to. But
well, that's going above and beyond. Did she take you up on it? Cool.
She hasn't. She hasn't taken me up on it, but I offered. And that's another thing that I sometimes have trouble with is how does one go about selling a brand new handpiece? You know, because you know, normally most of these people have got you know, big. I've got big brick and mortar people around here. I've got Shine here. I've got Patterson's, Peterson's, you name it, they're all here. They've all got brick and mortar in my area. So, and they blanket the place. So how does one, you know, if these people use Shine, then I say, well, you know, you've got to speak to your Shine rep. They've
now,
got
why
a
would you say
there.
That? When you have, yeah, you definitely would make the offer first, right?
Yeah.
Offer to sell them the Sable hand pieces or the Choice Pro
yes.
line. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So then, and then I say, otherwise, speak to them. It's so difficult. If somebody could give me some pointers, or you could have that maybe as a subject.
Well, here's the deal. You know, Mike from, and to answer your question, Erwin, and hopefully some franchise owners might have some input as well, but Mike from Sable, you know, he's all about making the sale. I know we had Tim at the last couple, and he's more about talking about what Gord was asking about, the clamp pad design versus the such-and-such design and some extra care inner ball separator. I mean, he's all Mr. into the technical stuff. Well, Mike, as you may or may not remember, I think he spoke at 3 or 4 conventions ago. He's all about sales. He was a sales rep for many, many years before he started Sable, and that is just his MO. It's what he feels comfortable doing. He will absolutely cover how to do that at the convention and the best ways and the best techniques. And, I mean, we are bringing in the guy for that question that you just answered or asked.
Yeah,
now,
okay.
Hopefully you can get some better answers than I guess I just gave you on, you know, just the fact of what you offer, but some actual better sales technique. But he's definitely going to be the guy for you at this convention.
Okay.
And he's going to go over all that. And, of course, he's going to promote his product over everybody else's, so take it with a grain of salt, but still learn from him. And Sable does have good quality product, and they back it up with warranties. And, you know, if it does fail, which is rare, but it's good quality product, and he does compare it to, you know, he compares a slow-speed line to the NSK, he compares his high-speed line, at least the higher-end stuff, to the Kevo. You know, to the $1,200 Kevos, the well-made Kevos. So you should be armed with, you know, some techniques to go out there with following that if we don't hear, you know, other ones from your fellow franchise owners.
Yeah, and then on the other side of that, I've got people, if you look at their hand pieces, they are, Midwest, the Quiet Ears and the traditions, they look like they have just been through a sandstorm. The chrome that's on the outside is like something that 60% of it is missing, and it's dull or scratched or anything like that. And I said to the people, you know, is there anything, can I help you, you know, maybe polish it up, make it look nice, or can I get it recovered for you, or can I offer you a new one? And they said, no, why? As long as it works. I pick it up and it works, I'm happy.
Yeah. Cool.
So, you know, it depends on the, you know, on
well, no two dentists are the same. I think we figured that out, huh?
Yeah, because that goes back to, you know, when do you recommend them to repair it if it's really, really bad?
Gosh, as long as you can still repair it, I would offer the repair. If they don't care about some wear on the outside of the handpiece, as long as the turbine's spinning good and, you know, and it's performing the cavity preps that they're doing, or, you know, the cutting into the fillings and the crown surfaces, then, I mean, you repair that sucker and you bill them and you move on to the next. I know Gord had that question, but I'm just saying I would always offer to repair the handpiece first. I mean, that's essentially what you guys do. It's 90%+ of your revenues.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to push them into a new handpiece when they don't need one? I wouldn't.
No.
That's just me. That's a great conversation, though, to ask during our networking sessions at the TDC convention. You know, walk around and talk to your fellow franchise owners and ask them, you know.
I will definitely do that, because this year I'm definitely going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, they may not participate necessarily right now on this conversation, but when you guys are all chit-chatting at the different breaks that we have and networking breaks that we have at the convention, that's a great time to ask some of these real detailed questions and get some good advice from your fellow franchise owners, because they're full of good advice. They may not volunteer it easily, but you get in front of them and they'll be happy to share with you. And that's one of the, pretty much on every evaluation, that's one of the top line items that guys really enjoy about our conventions is the networking and the spending time with your fellow franchise owners. So,
hey, David, Dale here.
Bring that with you. Yeah. Yeah, Dale.
Hey, man. So sorry I got on the call late. So two things real quick. Did you talk about, I heard you talking about bearings, but did you talk about the new turbines with the 15-month warranty? I just saw an email or something on that.
No, now that's something Tim promoted to us at the last convention.
Right.
Were those turbines?
But it's not.
And I don't know. I mean, it's just their same turbine with the same bearings. What they do, though, is they put a little bit of a premium on the price, and then they extend the warranty. But it's not different product. So guys haven't really jumped at that. They've still stayed with just buying the spindle combos and the bearings and dealing, you know, dealing with warranty and charging the docks personally. Because it's just the same product. They just put just assemble it for you, and then they upcharge you for the extended warranty. So he absolutely made that offer to us, Dale, in broad daylight there at the last convention and promoted it. But it, you know, and so of course I brought some turbines in. They just weren't well received, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I didn't know it was the same one.
Yeah, because of the math.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Do you really want to offer? And this was one question, I can't remember who brought it up at the convention, but somebody said, "Why do I want to offer a 15-month warranty? My doctors are happier than hell with a 12-month warranty."
Yeah,
and
I agree.
He didn't really have a good response.
I agree with that. Hey, so the other thing is that to piggyback on this last gentleman that was speaking, I'm not sure who that was. But
Irwin, that was Irwin, uh-huh.
Okay, so Irwin, yeah, when I'm out and about and talking to Dennis, you know, I'm never going to suggest to retire a handpiece unless, you know, it's just not working properly, a lot of dents in the head, like you said, and so forth. The cosmetic aspect of it doesn't really matter. If the doc doesn't care, then, you know, that's not a big deal. But I do always make them aware that, you know, we sell new handpieces for the simple fact that there's nothing that burns my butt more than going into one of my current customers to find out they bought new handpieces somewhere else. And it's only because they don't know or didn't realize that we sell handpieces, and they think, you know, I'm just a repair tech. But in my business, you know, I make it clear to all my clients, and one of the things I'm doing this year is promoting that even more. Look, if you need new handpieces, make sure you call me first, and, you know, I'll give you some options and maybe save you some money. You know, when you talk to them about saving money, that's usually what's going to get their, you know, perk their ears up, because they know when they're buying from Patterson or Shine or whatever, Benco, you know, the big dogs, they're paying, you know, premium price, especially, you know, for a cable handpiece, when you can sell them a Sable that's the same quality, you know, according to Sable. But I think they're a pretty decent handpiece. I think I would agree with that. They're, you know, comparable to the quality, and I feel comfortable saying that and telling them, look, you know, I can sell you a Sable handpiece that's the same, you know, quality as a Cavo, and bam, you're going to save yourself, you know, $300-$500, depending on which one they're buying. And I always just tell them, look, I've got low end handpieces, you know, economy handpieces, all the way up to, you know, Cavo, basically quality handpieces. So how much money do you really want to spend? You know, so, but I don't push the selling handpieces, you know, because I think, you know, they need to replace the handpiece. It's only if I can't repair it, which is not, you know, I don't feel like it's a good repair, you know, or too many dents in the head. So cosmetically, most of my dentists, I don't think really care about that either. So anyway, that's my two cents, David. And I don't think people are going to buy from you if they don't know you sell.
I agree with you 100%. Thanks, Dale. You got to inform your customer. I mean, that's the number one. Just keep informing them that you carry new handpieces. Dale said it right. I mean, nothing chaps your hide more than when one of your customers, and sometimes even long-time customers, all of a sudden you walk in there and they don't have, just doing your normal marketing or whatever, and they have all new handpieces. You're like, what the heck? What? And sometimes they even have off-brand stuff. You know, it's not like they had to buy the $1,200 or $1,500 Cavo handpiece. They've got just a regular old standard kind of economy handpiece that they probably paid $100 more per than you would have charged them, and still had a good markup in it. So I think it's all about keeping them educated on that. It's one of the things I go over, like Cecil probably remembers last week. One of the things I went over with him was you just got to keep them educated that you do the slow speeds repair, that you do sell new handpieces and attachments. Because all of a sudden, if you don't keep them informed, you're going to walk into that office and they're going to have new stuff, and you missed out on a sale simply because they didn't know that you sold it. So it sounds like you're spending some time, Irwin, with that one customer, and you offered to even sit down with her. But if I were you, I would walk in with the Dentist Choice Sable handpiece flyer, and if you need more, I'll be happy to send you some. And, you know, walk in with that. I mean, it's got slow speeds, attachments, high speeds. It's got a really high-quality handpiece. It's got more of an economical handpiece available, the heads and everything. So as long as you keep that information in front of them, I mean, that's all you can do, right?
Yep.
Yep. So thank you, Dale. You're 100% right. You just got to keep them informed and educated, for sure. All right, guys, we do have another 10 minutes left here for some open forum. If anybody else uses a CRM system, this is kind of a question that's been hitting us more and more lately, because we used to just promote ACT back in the day. It was ACT, 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 ACT. And then a few years back, Ben Nafis said he was going to try this Badger Maps. Harv mentioned that he tried Method, and I did look him up real quick. I popped him into a Google search while we were all chatting. And I did see that they're on there. It looks like they're similarly priced. It looks like you're probably going to spend about $40 a month for it. In Ben's opinion, it's worth every penny. I know Cecil Turner, who was just here last week, was looking into a few systems, and he said he can buy one route management system and one customer CRM system, and when you add them up, they're about that anyway. So if you really want to wrap your hands around your customer base and keep them super, super organized and keep yourself super, super organized, I guess at the end of the day, $40 a month is probably worth it, where it just seemed like a pretty, pretty big expense, you know, a few years back. So right now we're looking at maybe Badger Maps, you know, having Ben talk to you briefly about those, and maybe have Harv even do a 10-minute presentation or so on Method at the convention. So we could have a couple presenters on that, as long as they don't get stage fright. But I know both of them well, and neither one of them do. So that shouldn't be an issue. Anything else, guys? If not, I do want to remind you guys to please, please, please get your registration turned in to Diane or Nona. They seem to always want me to be reminding you guys of that so they can get an accurate count and make all the commitments that they need to make on their end. So please get those registration forms to them. If for some reason you don't have it or the email kind of went to spam or junk, let me know, and I'll resend those to you guys. All right, well, I want to thank Dale and Irwin and Gord and Harv for all your great input. It was very well received, as always. Again, welcome to Cecil Turner and maybe Carrie if she's on the line. And, you know, I'm sure they'll look forward to meeting all you guys in Las Vegas. So have a great rest of your day and rest of your week. And
hey, Dave.
If you want to listen to this recording, it will definitely be on the website later today. Yeah, Harv, what do you have?
Oh, yeah. My monthly fee is $31.50.
Okay, $31.50, okay. And you can talk about maybe, not necessarily right now, but the plan that you have versus the plan that Ben has and the pros and cons, and guys can, you know, they'll be well-informed and be able to make a pretty, pretty good decision. So I'll talk to you more about that offline, Harv, and
yep,
what we can possibly do to present this to the guys and gals, and that would be awesome. So thank you very much, Harv. And I already got a commitment from Ben to introduce you guys to Badger Maps and kind of how he uses it. So that'll be really, really cool part of the curriculum. So anyway, and Bud just told me to remind you guys to get him your tech table suggestions. So please do that as well. Have a great day and a great week, guys. Talk to y'all soon.